Clear, low 32 tonight. Tomorrow, partly sunny. A little colder, high only 43. On Friday, mostly sunny, high 37. And they have removed in the Veterans Day forecast from Saturday morning the possibility of a rain-snow combo early in the a.m. And I know there's lots of indoor-outdoor celebrations happening for Veterans Day. So that is good news. Thanks to Lauren Rainson for the forecast. It's 43 currently. I'm Susan Saunders. I'll be with you until noon. First hour of every Wednesday, though, starts with Kingston Wealth Management and our friends Kevin Kingston, John Rudy. Welcome back to WJBC, gentlemen.
Glad to be with you.
A lot of things have been going on. I mean, we got a new Fed chair announcement. We got record-breaking stock market, the proposal of a tax plan that I know you've all been waiting for. Lots to cover. What are we going to start with today?
Well, there is a lot to cover, and I think you hit on a lot of the stuff that we do want to comment about. Susan, I guess maybe briefly talk about the tax plan. You know, I know people are waiting for the perfect solution. I'm not sure there will ever be one, but if I've said before, if you let perfect become the enemy of good, you're never going to get something down. And so I think with what I heard Paul Ryan on yesterday, kind of explaining a little bit, it looks like they're moving some things through committee right now. But Kevin, I think it's, I will say this, if they don't get this deal done either by the end of the year, which is going to be very unlikely, or the first quarter, I think the administration's got real problems, and they can only blame their own internal party if they don't get this thing through. Because I would agree with that.
It's very important that they get a resolution, John.
A couple of things that have come out, though, Susan, a few changes, and people are going to pick and choose what they think is good and not good. But I just jotted down a couple of the ones that I read this morning, Kevin, that are a little bit, maybe a few little changes, a few little wrinkles in it. One of the things that certainly the capping of mortgage loan interest deductibility at $500,000, it doesn't hit the most people in this country, but it clearly states like California, Hawaii, Washington, areas like Washington, D.C., where those loans are typically $500,000 and above most of the new. So that's an issue. I think that, Kevin, you talked about this morning on the way over that $10,000 cap on ability to deduct real estate. I think that's. You know, I know what my tax bill was in Champaign, and it was double that. And so I'm sure there's many, many places here in Bloomington the same. So
at the end of the day, what we're really after is for everybody to pay less tax. Mm-hmm. So some of these itemized deductions, some things are going to change without a doubt, and it remains to be seen some of these details. But, John, I think the most significant thing of that tax plan is reducing the capital gains tax on, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, the income tax rate on corporations, mm-hmm. bringing money back into the country.
Yeah.
To me, if you can get that and then work through some of these other details as they affect individuals, that's really what matters.
One of the other is that they just talked about a lot this morning, and I'm sure people who have heard and been listening about this is the there's been an ability for divorced couples if someone was paying the alimony portion of it, they'd be able to deduct dollar for dollar what was paid out, and they're talking about the elimination of that. And so, you know, that's something that's going to affect very, very many Americans if that truly does go through.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a divorce deterrent, but I'm starting to see a lot more people looking at numbers as to health insurance plans, retirement questions, and more, and finding, sadly, that being married can be a negative instead of a positive on paper.
Yeah. Well, this notion of, of the alimony side is only one part of the equation, but it clearly would touch a lot of people's, a lot of households, unfortunately, that go through this. Kevin, a couple of the other things that I wanted to talk to you about. Susan mentioned that the markets, even though they're just off slightly today, it looks like we're going to end the year on a very strong note, unless something comes out of the ordinary, which typically doesn't happen in the fourth quarter, but nobody knows. You just can't make those kind of predictions. But from what you see right now, it's been an unbelievable year with a couple months to go.
Even if we go backwards for a month, John, it's still likely to be an incredible return year when you look at the S&P approaching 16% year-to-date, the Dow approaching 19%, and the NASDAQ. We don't talk a lot about tech and NASDAQ stocks, but year to date, the NASDAQ's in that 26% range. So when you look at markets overall, you have to be pleased with 2017. I mean, it's just a very positive year. And yeah, there's always this thought or people talking about when does the shoe fall? Well, mm-hmm. Not likely anytime soon. You never know. But, you know, from all aspects of tax reform, all the favorable things that the administration in Washington is doing, if they can get Congress to come along, I would suspect that 2018 will look pretty bright as well.
One of the things, Susan, that we're seeing, and I usually look at some weekly economic updates to try to keep an eye on really what's been happening, but a couple things, and we'll have Kevin comment on as well, but consumer spending, you know, personal spending continues to impress. It rose 1% going back to September, and it's the largest monthly advance in more than 8 years. When consumers start, you know, feeling like it's okay to spend their money, it's okay not to worry about what's around the corner. Obviously, you want to make sure we'll talk a little later in the program about taking some precautions about having emergency funds. But, Kevin, when you see consumer confidence numbers like that, that tells me that folks are out there prepared to fuel this already growing economy even more so.
Well, and John, in addition to that, you look at the wealth index of America. Mm-hmm. A lot of that, unfortunately, in a way, is tied to personal residence. But, you know, the good news is we've come out of the credit crisis. Real estate has gained in value around the country. Equity markets have been very favorable. So people in general feel a little wealthier at
yeah.
the moment.
I was even looking at real estate statistics the other day for millennials, and they're worried that the big influence of millennials buying homes more than ever
mm-hmm.
Is actually going to hurt a little bit of the rental market, people who invested in big corporations that have ownership and properties. But what a great sign that is for the youngest generation mm-hmm. to be putting down roots and feeling confident enough to buy a mortgage.
Couldn't agree with you more. And I know I saw that story as well. I think it does, you know, as we've talked about, to me, that the driver in this economy is always going to be home buying. I mean, that's where it kind of starts. I think that's very impressive. A couple other things that kind of go along with that, Susan, is we saw wages up 2.4% from year over year. And Kevin, you know, we went so many quarters, so many years without any kind of movement. 2.4% may not sound like a lot, but on balance, it's moving in the right direction. I think if you continue to see unemployment rates drop at the way they're going, you see, you know, the net gain in jobs was revised in October up to 266,000. It's impressive. So I think on balance, you know, I'm optimistic, but I will say this: if we don't, this thing could all halt, and it could halt very, very quickly if we don't get a couple of these things done. I haven't got my notice yet. I did talk to Steve Leisman from our company about the insurance rates are out there. They're starting to come out there, and you know, there's a lot of heartburn right now with what's going on with that. And so when you want to talk about what can derail that kind of progress, certainly that's one of the areas that can have a nasty effect on household spending.
Well, and you hope, John, once tax reform's completed, that health care reform is at the top of the list.
Yeah. Kevin, what's been going on a little bit with I know folks locally driving around the area have lately seen gas prices inch up into that 260 range, 265 range, which on balance isn't critical, but clearly it's an adjustment from what we were used to seeing this summer when rates were getting much, much lower.
Yeah.
Well,
and
you're seeing crude up to about $57
yeah.
a barrel, and a lot of that, obviously, some Middle East tensions. You know, you probably saw the roundup, if you will, of some of the Saudis who are apparently have been gaming the
mm-hmm.
system for many years.
Yeah, the crown prince decided to incarcerate many of his cousins and wealthy investors of Saudi Arabia in a Ritz-Carlton hotel.
Yeah.
That's a pretty looking jail.
That's a big factor. But overall, John, you still have to be pleased with where that barrel price is.
Yeah.
The OPEC cuts did have an effect. The fact that we're able to produce so much oil domestically makes a big difference.
Yeah.
You know, I think without those two things, you might see that barrel price closer to 70, maybe 80 without what's taking place.
One of the other things that I meant to get to last week and talk to about, and we kind of ran out of time, was this notion that there's a lot of folks out there, Kevin, who around the country and even in the area are being offered opportunities to leave the company early. And one of the things that raised for us, and I know we've had some inquiries about that, is what does that the real impact could come on the insurance side, because if you've got that gap from when you leave work versus when you can maybe jump on the Medicare, that's one of the issues I think that really leave people questioning, what do I do? And I think that's some of the things you guys get
asked. I think you're right on track, John. You may have an option to retire early. There's definitely some of that going on locally. But if you're not 65 yet, then you're trying to find a way, what do I do about health insurance from perhaps age 60 or 62 to 65? There are some ways that you can address that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, one of the major companies locally that's doing some of that has a partial solution. It's not an ideal solution.
Right.
But you're right on the mark. I think somebody may say, well, I feel like I'm pretty well-heeled with assets put aside to go into retirement, but what do I do about health insurance?
And that's really where the whole planning, Susan, because we've spent a lot of time this year talking about, and other years, about the need for comprehensive planning. And that's one of the things that you really have to understand on the expense side of the ledger, what that can do if you're faced with that kind of situation, and what kind of moves can you make based upon the other things that you've done right over the course of your savings career. So I think that's going to be an issue that's going to come up, you know, a lot here in the area. And I think it's going to come up as we move forward, as you find more and more people on the higher earning tables of the spectrum, when companies can take a look at that and maybe long-term save some money. But it's a real issue for folks out there, because these numbers, when you get to be 60, 62, you know, people in my age category are really finding that those 3 years, it's a bite for a lot of families.
Till you're eligible for Medicare, it can be a tough hurdle.
Forgive me for not knowing, but I will ask my elders here in the studio, and I mean that with kindness. John Rudy and Kevin Kingston, when you're buying insurance outside of a corporate situation, so you're no longer with your company, you're not eligible for maybe Affordable Care Act subsidies because of the amount of income you would have in your pension or retirement, are you being penalized for your age? I mean, is it more, it's more expensive to buy health insurance from 60 to 62 than maybe it is from 40 to 50?
Virtually all life health insurance is age driven. So clearly at an older age, the premiums are higher.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's substantial.
I asked for your experience and knowledge, not necessarily the fact that you've been through it.
Well, one of us in this room has been through it longer than everybody else.
Right. Let's take a break so I can wipe the blush off my face, and we'll be back with more from Kevin Kingston and John Rudy of Kingston Wealth Management after this in WJBC. When you need. In studio, Kevin Kingston, John Rudy. We're talking about the realities of what's going on in the markets, investment advice to make your retirement plans a little easier, or maybe to just scare the heck out of you so you start saving more money today. All of those things can happen in the show. Still to come, we're going to talk about when you really need to show some restraint about tapping into your retirement funds, and five ways to increase your retirement savings, which is all well and good. But anything else happening in the markets that we should go over?
Well, I'm going to actually, before we get into the news, I'm going to actually get into that tapping your retirement funds, and we'll save that latter portion for the latter part of the show. But
sure.
But before I do that, I want to just thank Susan while we got a minute. The Entrepreneur of the Year dinner was Thursday night, which you guys graciously took part in. It was a fantastic evening. I think people really enjoyed it. The room was packed.
Did you find something you want to invest in of the entrepreneurs? The ISU
oh my heavens, yeah!
There
it was brilliant Friday. I was a judge on Friday, and it was absolutely brilliant. But Bob and Julie Dobsky were just gracious award winners, and couldn't have been happier had their family with them. And Kevin, it was a great thing, and I know our company is glad to be involved with it. Illinois State School of Business. The dean was there. The president's wife was there. President Dietz's wife was in attendance. Al Bowman's wife was in attendance. We just had a really fun evening, and we're really already starting in January. We'll look forward to it.
It was terrific, John, to honor the Dodskis and also Katie Hill
Gotsman,
the alumni award winner.
Yeah.
Incredible company and what she's done as well.
But thanks to you guys, because
we were happy to support, and we're glad you had a good turnout. I know it's going to get bigger every single year.
It will.
But that's good about the DoubleTree, because they can keep making their room bigger. If you were a judge on the entrepreneurial projects side, who was the big winner?
There was a young man who was actually a teacher by trade. He was in the School of Education. And long story short, he's come up with this concept of acquiring these old artifacts, maybe World War I, maybe prehistoric, just all sorts of stuff. And knowing that it costs so much for teachers to take students on field trips, this actually brings the stuff right to the classroom. And he gets these items many times donated. And so he charges a fee. They deliver them back and forth. I can't go into the whole details, but it was a brilliant idea.
Like a touring museum.
Exactly.
Very well thought out. Bright young guy, impressive. Yeah, I think he's going to become a history teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
He's student teaching.
That's smart.
He's got a great, but we saw there were 19 or actually 23 or 24 folks showing. Thanks to everyone who attended. It was really a good night. Hey, we'll go ahead and just get into this. We'll at least talk about a couple of these before the news. But Kevin, we talk about the dangers of tapping retirement accounts early, and I think the main story here is retirement accounts are not bank accounts, nor should they be treated as such, and so it can really impede the whole process of retirement savings. If you get into that, what are some of the things maybe that you talk about or that you can see are sort of the central problems with when you get in early?
Well, John, one of the things that we try to talk with retirement plan participants about, in particular, these are dollars that you're setting aside for your future. If it's difficult to pay your expenses while you're working, just think what it's going to be like when you're not working. So I try to have people think of it in those terms so they really think twice before they tap retirement plans early. As you know, if you're under age 59 and a half and you take a withdrawal, those assets are taxable, but in addition, you pay a 10% penalty.
This is huge.
So it's not unusual. Somebody says, "Well, I'm going to pull $1,000 out of my retirement plan early." You may end up with $600 after tax, and by the time you get tax and penalty, there's just not enough left.
No, and I know folks go through some hardship situations from time to time, and we've seen it happen, and I know. There's a lot of ways that you might be able to maybe offset that up front, and I think it gets back down to planning. But Kevin, one of the things is just making sure you've got that emergency fund. You've got to build that first.
Yeah, and that's where I think, John, we were talking recently about kind of three tiers of money, or three buckets of money, if you will. One, cash for immediate use, a kind of a second tier for bigger ticket purchases, automobiles, home purchase, and then that retirement plan money. So you want to avoid ever touching that retirement plan money until you're really retired.
Well said.
We'll be back with more of Kevin Kingston and John Rudy of Kingston Wealth Management. Of course, you can learn more about them now at kingstonwealthmanagement.net, and they sponsor our Wednesday programs here on WJBC. I'm Susan Saunders with Kevin Kingston and John Rudy of Kingston Wealth Management. Again, you can find out more about them at kingstonwealthmanagement.net. And you can always make your first free appointment by calling
663-9477. And we've had a lot of folks in the last couple of months jumping on that.
And I encourage you to do so if you have questions, because we unfortunately can't do call-ins while we're on the air. But that's because your information is personal.
Yeah.
So take it to the office over there at Kingston. We were talking about refraining from tapping into your retirement funds. Now, I will say, if you're ever in a really backed up against the wall situation, my retirement fund had the option for an emergency loan.
Yes. Yes.
Is that not common?
Well, I'm glad that's really the point I wanted to touch on before we get to the next topic. But yes, many plans, Kevin, I think you know this, many plans do offer that caveat where you have that built-in opportunity to do it, but that can really lead to real problems. I know you guys are not real keen on that.
Many employer-sponsored 401k plans have a loan provision, and the rule is you can borrow up to 50% of your account balance, not to exceed $50,000. But again, it's a source that should be used as a last resort. You know, if you have no other way to come up with funds, maybe you have to use that loan provision. And many times people say, well, at least I'm borrowing my own money. Well, yes, you are, but you're also giving up the return on that money. And that's what really matters, John. If I borrow $50,000 out of a 401k take that out of the return, yes, I'm paying some interest on it, but I'm also giving up how that money would have been invested. That $50,000 10, 20, 30 years later might be worth $150,000 or $200,000.
So it's not using your 401k as collateral for a separate loan. It's actually you're borrowing your own money. In that time that you've got it out, it's not, I didn't understand that.
See, it's a learning.
And you're paying yourself some interest on it, but you're also, you know, taking away your ability. Those are dollars that you could have been contributing to the plan. So, I mean, it's a really bad idea. Well, but as a last resort, you know, sometimes there's no other choice.
Mm-hmm. And the other side of that equation, too, is people that fail to pay that back, or, you know, because it is due back, isn't it, Kevin? I mean, it's not, you just can't walk away from that.
And I think the maximum, you have to repay within 5 years.
I think that's right. Yeah, I think that's right. Anyway, that I think it's a topic that we just love to remind people, because there are costs to breaking in, and these things aren't bank accounts per se. They're for the long term, and that's really the way you want to treat them.
Well, let's. I know we're moving topics here, so why don't we take the break now?
That's
so we can do everything all inclusive of ways to increase your retirement savings. That's always our number one hot topic here on WJBC on Wednesdays with Kingston Wealth Management, and it's tips you need to learn after this.
Central Illinois' play.
1046, John Rudy, Kevin Kingston in the building, trying to tell us about, you know, retirement plans and all of those fun things. Tell me, is there any easy way that we can actually increase our retirement savings besides just putting more money aside?
It's easy to talk about it, and maybe it's easy to say it's easy, but it's not easy for the person who's doing it. But I do think there's
some... Can you just give me some money so I can retire? Would that be an easy one?
There are some ways that you can do it that might be a little... very, very easy to do in terms of the transaction. And Kevin, it kind of starts with, I think you've mentioned this before several years ago, that oftentimes when you know you're going to get a raise or you get that raise, that's the time to almost pretend as if that raise didn't even occur. Let it go right into a 401k type of a situation. Do you still recommend that?
Yeah, absolutely, John. In fact, you know, when you look at payroll deduction, that may be the best thing about employer-sponsored plans. If I don't see those dollars in a take-home paycheck, if it comes out first, people don't miss it as much. You know, they look at it sometimes, well, it's like paying more tax. I just don't get to take as much home. So that's a great way, John, when you get a raise, don't treat it as money in pocket that you're taking home. Look at it as money I'm going to contribute to the 401k.
So if you get it, just round numbers, you get a 3% increase your 401k contribution by 3%, and maybe you'll get a match on that as well.
Well, and then when you do that pre-tax, you know, it's even more meaningful. If you took the 3% and paid tax, what do you have left? If you put it all in the 401k, you've captured it all.
Kevin, the other point I think is worth talking about is we really do talk about risk, about taking risk. When is it advisable? Understanding the what you're really doing, but I think it can be said that many people have been so fearful of losing money that they've been unable to take a look at the long term, and they keep you've seen money on the sidelines. You still see today sitting in cash, and that's an area where people can really affect negatively their savings.
I think it helps, John, if typically in any 401k employer-sponsored retirement plan, these are daily valued securities. And yes, they're going to go up and down on paper, but they're typically not securities that you're going to lose everything. If I own the S&P 500 index, yes, there's going to be a company in that fails sometime within the next year, 3 years. It's going to happen. But if I'm diversified among 500 companies, unless our economy, the whole country collapses, it's not likely at all that those are become worthless.
I've seen.
I think when you talk about risk, the risk is, can I stand to see my account balance fluctuate?
Correct.
And that's not a risk that you associate with, I'm putting my money in something that's going to fail.
You talk about those buckets all the time, about our emergency fund buckets.
Mm-hmm.
Can I have my emergency fund bucket, instead of sitting in a savings account or a safety deposit box, be in the S&P 500? Can I have my emergency money invested in something?
Not a good idea, because if we have a credit crisis-like event, which worst market of our lifetime, and that S&P 500, your 10,000 that you have in it goes down to 6 or 7, and you need the money,
right?
That's a problem.
So there's no place that I can put my emergency funds where it's growing at all?
It's really liquid. It's a money market account, some type of and you can shop the community. There's some banks that are doing, even though they're not great rates, I mean, you can get a little something for it. But the key is, this money is just strictly there for emergency. And as Kevin pointed out, you don't really want to take a look at the market volatility when that case. You know, Kevin talked about diversification. One of the studies that I had seen, Kevin, they went back and they looked at a diversified large cap stock historically portfolio. And from 1950 through 2014, on average, about 11.4% annually. When you contrast it to what long-term bonds did during that same period, it was about 6.2%. So you can see what happens when you have history on your side. These things.
And that's back to, John, it's not market timing. It's time in the market that matters. So the longer that money is going to be invested, like a retirement plan typically is, time's on your side. It works in your favor. Those returns will average out. You want to take the appropriate amount of risk, not be too conservative, depending on your circumstances, not too aggressive.
Kevin talked about time, and it kind of touched the third point I wanted to talk about, and that is invest early and invest often, because the best time, Kevin, and you can, we're not going to go through all the equations, but just typically speak about what happens when you do get that money in at an early age versus waiting 10 years.
Well, just the growth or return on assets. If Susan puts her money in at age 25 versus dollars she puts in at 65, it just has more time to work. But I do want to quickly add that as much as people get hung up on return matters, and it does, what really matters is the dollars you put in. That's the driving factor behind what you'll have in retirement.
You know, we a lot of times fail to take a look at expenses, because that's the equation. As a matter of fact, my wife and I were talking about this morning, a show came on, or a news talking about people's savings, and she says, are we doing what you guys preach? Are we practicing? I go, well, we're doing everything pretty well, but we do seem to spend a lot. And she goes, we do. I go, yeah, let's take a look at that.
That was shocking news this morning.
but I do think it. I think, Kevin, you can comment about that. One of the areas that you guys, Kevin, Mike, Chris, spend time with clients on is taking a look at that consumption. We talk about whether it's expenses, but it's what you consume. And I think if you do an honest assessment, we all probably could take a look at that and figure out a way to maybe divert some of that more money into a savings plan, because it does pay off.
I'm trying to teach my husband how to be a coupon clipper for
I
me
do that.
For the groceries. I said, you know, I don't have time to clip the coupons. Maybe that could be your job. I do the shopping and a lot of the meal planning. Maybe you could clip the coupons for him. And he's like, I don't know which coupons to clip.
I'm going to tell you right now, people talk about, you know, that there's no bargains out there. There are bargains out there. If you are willing to go through the pain, there are
some. John, will you be my coupon clipper?
I'm not ashamed. I do it all the time. I find a good deal, I'm jumping on it.
My
dad used to say, if you saw $5 laying on the floor, you'd pick it up, wouldn't you? I go, yep. He goes, well, pick it up.
Pop quiz, what's BOGO mean?
Buy one, get one.
Hey, the man knows what he's doing.
I got him.
Well, we'll see you next week again. And in the meantime, meet our friends from Kingston Wealth Management. They sponsor this hour here on WJBC. Make your first free appointment, 663-9477 or kingstonwealthmanagement.net. Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Financial Group, Incorporated is a separate entity of Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc., and past performance does not guarantee future results.